Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
Y'all welcome to church this morning. We are very happy to see you because the beginning of the other part of the month, last month, hasn't been easy for us. But thank you very much. God will truly bless you. We are very grateful to God because God has protected you. God has kept you. Some of you drove 5.5 hours to your home during the storm. Some of you drove slow. You were just crawling. But we thank God for his protective hand and for his power upon our lives. Can I hear amen? All right, we are still in our Daniel plan. Now, when you read the Ghanaian news is out, if you pick it out, and then you read those who passed away last year from our community, we have so many people who passed away. But even just the month of January, the number of people who have passed away, and then the ages that you see is very alarming. And that is why I'm here to encourage you, to help you know that see, the Daniel plan, it's not like pastor is too wicked, he doesn't want us to eat. All right, but it is for your own health, and it is for your own good. Because I know God believes in you. I believe in you. I want you to live a healthy life. Okay, as I say, I don't want to go there and then go to the cemetery and then bury and say God has given and God has taken. I promise you, when you die, I won't say that. I'll just say I commit you to God, the one who brought you, and then I leave you. Because there are certain things, it's not God who has taken. You know, we need to take good care of ourselves. Can I hear amen? Amen? All right, so please, if you haven't been engaged. Get yourself involved. Get a small group. Do the exercises. Look, eat healthy. Eat very well. And your life will never be the same. Can I hear amen? Amen? All right, so this morning is our fifth week, and we are continuing on our journey. So let me begin with a very simple question, okay? Very simple question. Now, if there is one thing, okay, or one person, that you can lay hold of, or you can find, that can be the answer to every problem in your life, what would that thing be? What would that thing be? I want you to answer yourself in your head before I start speaking. Okay? If in this world, in this life, you can just lay hold on just one thing that carries the power, the ability to be the answer to any kind of problem, what would that thing be, or who would that person be? I think I'm releasing some clues for you. Tonight, or this afternoon, or this late morning, getting us into the afternoon, pick up your bulletin, because we are looking at God's prescription for your health. This week is week number 5. We are looking at the God factor. God's power in your life. God's power in your life. Now, if God is equal to power, and then we need the power of God to help us live our lives, overcome every challenge, overcome every difficulty, and even rejoice in times of joy, or know how to even celebrate when we have victory, then what is it that we need to look for? What is the thing that we need to lay hold on so that it will be easy and possible for us to be who God wants us to be? Now listen to me very carefully. I know as I ask the question, you are trying to answer it by mentioning a lot of things. Some of you, I know. Some of you said God, I know. Some of you also said, I think if I get $1 million, that wouldn't be bad. But sometimes Ecclesiastes says money answers all things, but money doesn't answer all things. Some of you also said, I know if I get a good wife or I get a good husband. Some of you too were saying, I'm sure that will be the children that God will give me or the children that God has given to me. Yeah, that's cool. But some of you too may be saying, I think good health. I think when I have good health, I can have all things. Or maybe good financial acumen, like the understanding, the ability to invest. I think I can overcome. But you see, this morning, late morning, I'm presenting to you that one thing. That when you lay hold on, all right, it has the ability to turn everything of yours around. First of all, let me begin with a person. The person is God. You cannot do without God. So if God is equal to power, then what is this one thing? Look at the scripture. The awesome power of faith. That thing that I'm presenting to you is what we call faith. Faith. Faith has the ability to turn every situation of yours around. Because if God is power and God is faith, when you place your faith in God, you have the ability to exhibit it. It is faith. It's difficult to explain. People explain it in different forms. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. The Bible says that for we know that this world, this whole world was created by the word of God. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible for us to believe in God, to even serve God. But the Bible defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things that we haven't seen. What will help us bring to forth the things that we haven't seen is this thing called faith. This thing called belief, this thing called trust, this thing called confidence. Confidence in God, belief in God is equivalent to power. This late afternoon, this late morning, I'm presenting to you the power of faith. Amen. Now look at the scripture. The Bible says Jesus did not do many miracles of power in his hometown because of their lack of faith. Look at it very carefully. The Bible says Jesus himself. Jesus, who has all power. It means that God expects us to do something. You have believed in God. You trust in God. I believe in God. We all believe in Him. But we have to continue to ensure that this thing we call faith that is placed in God is growing. It's increasing. Okay, it's alive. It's active. Look at it. Why couldn't Jesus do anything? Listen to me. He says he could not do many miracles of power, which means that there are certain miracles that can only be done by power. Now, for what is connected to power is faith. What activates power is faith. It means that you can say you believe in him, but for us to manifest the power, the miracles that can only be done by power, we need to manifest, we need to release, we need to believe, we need to release this one thing called faith. Look at your neighbor's face and tell, look, if you don't believe Jesus, if you don't have faith in him, nothing will happen. No miracle will happen. Can I hear amen? Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? Now look at it very carefully. Let me pick up this is the New Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 20, still in the New Testament, but making allusion to this Father of faith of ours. The Bible says Abraham's faith did not leave him. Abraham's faith did not leave him. In other words, he held on to the faith. He believed it. Now please listen to me. When we talk about faith, we are not saying the believer will not go through challenges or difficulties. Okay, but throughout seasons of life, that which can take you, that one thing which can carry you through is your faith in him. Even when things seems not to work, even when everything around you seems not to work. And I know some of you are saying, Pastor, yeah, you know, you are speaking to me. In fact, this first month, things haven't been easy at all. But you are here. Keep your faith alive because that is the only thing that can keep you through. Can I hear amen? It is your faith in him. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now look at it. Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham's faith did not leave him and he did not doubt God's promises. There are key things here. He did not doubt God's promises. Instead, his faith filled him with what? With what? With what? With what? God is equal to power. Faith is equal to power. Because your faith in God is equal to the power that you carry every time. So that is why sometimes, even though you may be going through struggles, but because your faith is connected and placed in God, sometimes people see you and they marvel. What manner of man is this? Like, can I hear somebody shout amen in the house? Do I have a witness in the house? Yeah. That's why I say I'm not moved by what I see. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? Like my friend would say, can amen? Not sorry, you're there. Anyway, he brings you special greetings. He says, anytime I stand, I should thank you because you made him international champion. Okay, Riku, see if you are watching. Enjoy yourself. So, now if we are talking about the awesome power of faith and power is connected to faith, then how do we increase our faith? How do we grow? There are so many things. Let's look at four of them quickly. Faith is choosing. It is choosing and believing God's dream for my life. You grow in your faith by choosing and believing God's dream for my life, for your life. Now, please, you know, it begins with dream. You can call it vision. The Bible says, look at the scripture. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, it's not where there is no vision, the church perishes. Yeah, that's why God has spoken to us. He says, in the next 4 years, in the next 4 years, we should trust Him to grow this church to 2,500. That is vision. It doesn't mean that we have seen it. No, it doesn't mean that we have seen it physically, but we have seen it with our eyes. We know it's going to happen. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you don't have a vision, nothing will drive you. Nothing will motivate you. Nothing will push you. So if you're a husband, so one of the things, let me just chip this one in and then just encourage some of the men. Now, some of the things that frustrate women in marriages are men without vision. Because the woman in your life is there to help you fulfill your vision. But sometimes if you marry a woman and the woman is not seeing any vision, any progress, any direction, then you frustrate the helper. If you are not very careful, you are tempting the helper to become the visionary. And that's where sometimes they say, huh, the woman is taking my power in the house. No, but sit the woman down. Let the woman know. This is what the Lord is saying. Because you are the priest. This is where we are going as a family. In the next 5 years, this is where we are believing God to take us. In the next 10 years, this is where we are trusting God to take us. In the next 15 years, this is where we are believing God to take us. So what do we do? How do we do it? Then you will get a helper. Okay, it's not for the men. The men are saying, Pastor, can you please shift it to the women? One thing that you need to help you through life is not Pastor Isaac. It is faith in God. You need God. Jesus in his own hometown could not perform any miracles, or many miracles. But when anywhere he went else, well, whoever believes in him saw a manifestation of his power. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Sometimes people wonder, why don't we see miracles in the church? There are 1,001 reasons. 1,001 reasons. I won't go there today. Especially in the Canadian church. So don't tempt me to go there. So let me ask you, what is your dream? Yeah. What is your vision? What is your dream? What has God revealed to you? Now listen. Whatever God reveals to you, whatever assignment God gives you, He gives you the grace to get it done. Amen. The problem is that most of us, we are following other people's vision. You just hear it. Oh, now hairdressing makes money. So that has become your vision. Car parts, it goes very fast. What is your vision? Now, we are talking about things that can keep you active and alive. Friday we're here, Saturday we're here, praying for families, praying through for families. Touch on all the other areas. Those who need children, miracle children, babies, whatever marriage. Now, remind me that I will pray. Okay, well, pray for a group of people. Because when I was sitting there, we were worshiping, and Billy was singing the song. There was a group we need to touch today before we leave. We'll do it. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Now, faith is choosing and believing God's dream for my life. So, make a choice. But you can't choose if you don't have any dream. Now, some of you, I'm sure, you are wondering, so, Pastor, now I can't dream. Now, the Bible says, even the old men, they shall dream dreams. Now, New Testament believer. The Bible says, old men. So, all the retirees, they are supposed to be dreaming. Every person who is retired in living world, you are supposed to be dreaming. This is the time where you are supposed to be creating things. Because you are home. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Oh, read. No, this is the time where you have to relax and read some stories of how some retirees turned their lives around, changed their situations. Because see, this is when you can do great things, not just for yourself, but for your children and for your children's children. Now, this is part of the Daniel plan. This is week 5. We are looking at the God factor. The one thing that when you lay hold on, can turn your life around. That is faith. And what we have said, it begins. The way you grow your faith, it's by dreaming. It's by dreaming. Some of you may be wondering. Look at the scripture. The Bible says God, by his mighty power at work within us, is able to do far more than we will ever dare to ask or even dream of. Listen very carefully. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, and our highest hope. It's very important. So here, the Bible is telling us to do some things. Okay, some key things. Now, even dream of, okay, he says, you would ever dare to ask. What God is saying is that when it comes to visions and dreams, dare to ask. No, ask. Ask God, where do you want living where to be? God said, in the next 10 years, I want this church to be one family, 10 different locations. That's what God said. I said, God, I believe. He said, there. At the end of the day, if it doesn't happen, somebody arrest me? No. That's why President Trump said, dream is free. So when you are dreaming, now I'm coming to a point. So when you are dreaming, dream big. At the end of the day, it is better to dream big. Now, I believe strongly that in the next 10 years, God can do it. Even if God doesn't do it, and he does 5, at least you are better off than 0. Are you getting my point? No. Now, look at your neighbor and say, dream. Are you getting the point? Now, don't just say dream, but tell the person, dream big. 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 God says, dream big. Okay, so look at my face. Now, some of you don't have, if you don't have dream from today, dare to ask. Ask God. Ask God. So first of all, faith is believing, so believe. And then ask God, and then dream big. Those three things, don't forget them. Don't forget them. Because God says he will do it. Okay, he will do it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. I don't have time to spend time on how to turn your thoughts into reality. Sometimes the ideas begins from your thoughts. Now, the challenge with us is that we are not able to capture the thoughts that is released into our minds. We are not able to capture them. So we waste all of them. Because God speaks to us all the time. But most of us, we don't hear because we have made other people our God's voice for our lives. So unless they say it, God hasn't spoken. You are all this while, God is been speaking. Without vision. Look at the last scripture. The Bible says, why is this so? Why is this so? God says, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? So when you dream and you have a big vision, God is saying, is anything too hard for me? No. You know, let's move on, get the story. So look at what we are saying. So what is it God is saying? So God is saying, look at it. Psalm 2 verse 8. God says, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. So look at my face. From this scripture, God is saying, what he expects us as a church to ask him is the nations. And he, God, will give the nations to us. Now, dream big. Yeah, dream big. Because God has said that the foundation for us, the foundation and the basis of our vision and of our dream is God, number one, and is God's word. So it's not like you just go somewhere, just eat, and then just say, I'm dreaming. No. That's what the Bible says. Take advantage of the promises of God. What has God promised? What has God promised you? Because our father Abraham is our covenant keeping senior brother who walked with God in covenant. Walking with God is covenant. That's why we have Old Testament, New Testament. The God we serve is a covenant keeping God, and he has his covenant promises. Once you buy and key into the covenant promises, you place a demand on the covenant keeping God, not to sit and rely, but to act on your behalf. Look at your neighbor and tell him, dream big. Okay. Yeah. I like it. Now, I forgot that we have some English teachers in the house. Okay. So somebody is also saying, Pastor, dream big, dream bigger. I was going to say dream biggest. Are you getting the point? So faith is choosing and believing. It is you. Number two, faith is not just only choosing and believing God's dream for your life, but it also being willing to risk failure. Willing. This is where we are. This is where we fall short. Willing to risk failure. Willing. Be willing to risk it. Be willing. Even when you fail, you have learned. Sometimes some of us, well, our problem is that, oh, what will people say? Oh, what if, well, what will they say? They will say, I am too this, I am too that. You know, who gave you the vision? Who told you to dream? So why are you limiting yourself with people's opinion? Now, is there a problem? Yeah. That's our biggest challenge. What? And then we ask ourselves, what if? What if? What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? So what if it does? Why don't you turn around and say, what if it does? You have changed the world for good. Risk it. Look at the scriptures. Look at the scripture. Let's give the spirit. The Bible says they risk lives. They risk their lives. They risk their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, risk your life for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen? The Bible says they love not their lives. They risk it. I don't know how to put it. No, they risk their life. It means, can I give you a story? There's a scripture down there. Can I give you a story to illustrate it? Okay, let's go to Babylon. In Babylon at this time, the children of Israel have sinned against God. God repeatedly, okay, warned them, don't do it. If you do it, I'll send you to captivity. So God, they continue to disobey God. God sends them into captivity. So where we are with the next scripture we are going to read, reveals to us that there were three young men who were there in this land. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, built a statue and said, everybody should bow to this image. Everybody bow. Remember the scripture read, they risk their lives for God. Now, one of the reasons why we are not able to succeed and excel as a church and grow is because we are not going. Why? Because we are afraid. We are not willing to risk for God. These people risk their lives for God. But a growing church will have to be a going church. Let me say it one more time in a different way. A growing church will have to be a going church who risked his life to go. So a growing church is a risking church. Amen. It's a church that risks that, no, we will go. If we die, let us die. Amen. Okay? And scripture is coming to mind. If I perish, I perish. That's Esther's story. But I'm relating this one with the story of the three young guys. And when we're doing our devotion, one day my wife asked, she said, you know, I've been thinking about it. When this was happening, where was Daniel? And I said, thank you. You have asked a question. This one, Bible scholar. Let me take my time and research. You know, I know there are some people, they think they know all things. Me, I'm not omnipotent. Can I hear amen? All right. But we deliberated and thought around it. But the point I'm driving home is that these guys said something. Look at the scripture. It says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Let's all read the rest. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, this is risking the failure. Okay, the guys knew God. But you see, this is where sometimes we have to get it straight. Faith in God does not necessarily mean that you will get the answer you are expecting. But even if, you see, that is where the power is. Because faith is equivalent to power.
That is where it is. Your faith is in this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. But even if he doesn't do it the way you expected it, like you pray, you fast, you seek the face of God and say, God, I'm going to start this new business. Now you have fasted, you have prayed, you have sought God's face, you have risked it, you have attempted it, and it didn't work. You don't have to die. You have to stand up. You have to learn your lessons. You have to push forward. Because you are a child of God, you know that God had something in there for you. The reason may not be the success of it. The reason may be the lessons that you need to learn. The problem with many of us is that we are not ready to learn, because we are not ready to learn. Because we think every failure is the end of our lives. But you see, you have to fail forward. 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 You risk the failure. Look at your neighbor and tell him, risk it, risk it, risk it, risk it, risk it, risk it. Can I hear amen? Yeah, that's why sometimes some of us also find ourselves in marriages, and then the marriage is not working. And we are like, oh God, did I even pray well? You risk it. So risk it. Keep on keeping on. Press on. Can I hear amen? Yeah, push it. Kela broba sitaya. Maki laboba. Brandilibo sitaya. Can I hear amen? God is able. Are you enjoying yourself? Are you enjoying yourself? Listen very carefully. Faith and real faith does not demand a guarantee of miracle. That's what he's saying. Faith and real faith does not demand a guarantee of miracles. But what it demands is that your faith is constant. That is why we are talking about the God factor. The God factor is unchanging. I know some of you did a lot of mathematics. If you are not afraid of mathematics, you know, the constant in mathematics, in equations, what do you call it? Constant what? Constant K, yeah. You do have some mathematicians at the back? Yeah, the constant K. K is constant. That is it. The God factor is constant. So in your life, what has to be constant is your faith in God. Constant. Nothing moves. Whether God works or not, it doesn't move. You know, your faith, constant, unshakable, unmovable. Faith in God. Can I hear amen? Amen. Right. Some of you, were you enjoying the word or you're enjoying the shaking? Everything. Now look at one key thing that disturbs us when we are doing it. Look at the last scripture. Proverbs 29:25. The Bible says, the fear of human opinions disables. Now, one of the key things that worries us most is fear. Fear of humans. The Bible says it disables. The moment you want to do something, say, oh, what if? What if this person? What if that person? Then all your gas falls down. But look at it carefully. When we want to overcome it, the faith is willing to fail, even if it's part of God's plan. Faith is being willing to fail, even if it is God's plan. Why is this so? Because God is more interested in growing your faith than he is in what you do in life. Now, I want to emphasize that to help you, to help all of us, because sometimes we get certain things wrong. Look, God is more interested in growing your faith than he is in what you do in your life. Okay, so whatever you are doing, God is more interested in growing you. That's why in Living Word, the mission God has given to us, the long mission, is for us to build and grow living disciples everywhere. Okay, everywhere by proclaiming the power of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is who we are. But the simple mission, why we are here, is to make living disciples. Making living disciples. Disciples who are alive. So for Living Word, who is a living disciple? A living disciple in Living Word is any member of Living Word who knows God and loves God. So love God. Who is living the Word? He believes in God and lives the Word, practices it. Why? Because the word, by living the Word, you are growing to be like Christ. Who is a living disciple? It's not just somebody who loves God and lives the Word, but it's also a person who knows his spiritual gifts, his talent, his giftings, and is using it to make a difference in the world. He's using it to reach the world. That's why we are here. That's why we are here. So don't forget. Don't forget, we are here to love, to live, and to reach. There's a reason for what we are doing. That's our mission. That's our purpose statement. That's the process we take ourselves through. So any person who comes here, if you see somebody that says, I am a liver, in other words, I'm a member of Living Word. Every member of Living Word, you are a liver. If you don't believe me, go to your body and ask for the liver and see what the liver does. You are a liver. A liver is any person who loves God, who lives the word, who reaches his word. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, this is the mission. Now look at it. One of the things that can cripple you is failure. It's fear. Fear of human beings. Fear of people. Don't be afraid of any person. I remember there's a scripture that says, look, any person who fears, if you fear man, what? Then you place yourself under what? Under curse. Okay, but blessed is any person who puts his trust in God. Put your trust in God. The word trust is equivalent to the word faith. Are you getting the point? Very important. Let's move on. Look at it. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself, okay, to somebody else. So what are we saying? Now, when it comes to fear, let me spend a few minutes and then just explain two things to help us understand. When it comes to fear, there are two things that causes us to fear. Okay? That there are many things, but let me just pick up one. One of the things is comparison. Comparing ourselves to ourselves. The Bible says, those who compare themselves to themselves, they are of all men fools. You don't have to do it. Why? There are two things that it does. When you compare yourself with your friends, there are two things that can happen to you. Okay. You compare yourself with a person and you realize that you are nowhere near the person. The person is far, 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 far better than you. So what will happen to you? You become discouraged. So discouragement will set in and it will cripple you. It will disable you. Because you can't even believe in yourself. You can't even believe in what you can do. You can't even bring out what is in you. So you start comparing, maybe because I can't speak English. Who told you that it is English that makes people millionaires? No. Who told you? So don't compare yourself with others. One thing that will be the result of unnecessary comparison is discouragement. And it has the ability to disable you, to render you unprofitable, unimportant, something. You'll always be looking at yourself, only the negative things about yourself. The other side of it is that when you compare yourself with others, the other thing that will happen is that you will see that you are more gifted, you are more talented, you are blessed than all the other people. So if you are not very careful, pride will also set in. So either way, you are either discouraged or you are either full of pride. So if you are full of pride or full of discouragement, they all have the power, the capacity to disable you. Are you getting the point? So you can't get to where God wants you to go to. That we are here as part of this Daniel plan to challenge you. Because look, you are the people that God has given to us. I don't have any other people anywhere. I can't compare this church to any other church. Nobody will come from anywhere to give us money to do what we need to do. You are the people God has given to us. So we have to believe in you. We have to trust in you. We have to challenge you. We have to encourage you. We have to equip you. We have to reveal everything you need to know to help you become all that God has created you to be, because our destinies are connected to your destiny. Lift up your right hand and shout, I hear you, Pastor. Amen. Yeah. This is the family we have. So watch out for what fear can do. It can disable you. Look at the two things. Can create, cause you to be discouraged. Always you are discouraged. Or always you think you are better than everybody else. Pride. Watch those two things. Are you happy you came to church?
Yes.
I think I can even close here. But look at the third one. Faith is expected. It's expecting God. So faith is not just choosing, okay, to believe and also willing to risk failure, but it's also expecting God to bless and to use me. Eh? That is faith. You know, I know sometimes that some Christians, they are very humble. And when it comes to praying and asking God to bless them, they don't want. Because they think people will think, oh, they are holy. I don't know why we equated poverty with holiness. But look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. Every person in the Bible who asked God to bless him was blessed. Can I hear amen? Yeah, look at it. So you have to faith. If you have faith in God, your faith in God is also, for you to grow in your faith in God, you have to ask God to bless you. Yeah, ask. If there is a generational curse, there also ought to be a generational blessing. Yeah, why do we always elevate the devil? Now, if the devil can cause, bring curses to follow and run through your family, why can't blessings also run through your family? Amen. There should be a generational blessings. Amen. That is what I release upon your life. Amen. That is what I speak upon your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. He says, look at the scripture. Look at Philippians 1:20. It says, I expect and hope. That's what Paul said. I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. Whether I live or die, I have to show forth, I have to manifest the power, the blessings of God upon my life. Look at the next one. Look at the next one. Psalm 27 verse 13. The Bible says, I believe I shall enjoy the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. That's what David said. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe I shall enjoy. Because you see, poverty is not good. Amen. Amen. Why are you all looking at me? Can I hear amen? He says, I believe. Tell yourself, you believe. I shall enjoy the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Yeah, believe it. You are not anybody. You are you too. You are somebody. You are special. You are unique. There is your kind. There's no prototype of you anywhere in the world. No, they can't find you beside you anywhere. Can I hear amen? Your DNA is unique. So don't let anybody talk you out of it. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? Look at it very carefully. According, how is that going to be done? According to your faith, will it be done to you? So it's not just declaring it, but according to your faith, it shall be done unto you. We are talking about faith. When your faith grows, when you continue to believe God, that God can do it, He will do it. Look at it. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Let's repeat it. I like the version. This is the God's word version. It says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. It convinces you. And that's why sometimes I have the convictions. I have the convictions, strong convictions, that Lord, it shall be done. No, it shall be done. No, you don't see it, but you believe it. You are convinced that it shall be done. No, you see, maybe you are here, you are wondering, said, Pastor, there are other things. I haven't seen it. Maybe you have applied for your husband. It's taking a while. The man is not here. He will come. Ah. You know why I'm saying he will come? You know why I'm saying? Because the Bible says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Pastor Isaac's own translation. What God has put together, let no immigration put it asunder. No, if it is not God's promise, if it's not God's word, then it is not. But it will happen. Yeah. Can I hear amen? Amen? So dwell on the promise of God. Look at the final one. Then we will close. Okay. Faith, number four, is never giving up. Never giving up. So what are we saying? Faith is diligence. Faith is fortitude. Faith is endurance. Faith is persistent. Never gives up. Never giving up. That is faith. Look at it. Look at what the Bible says. In Psalm 119 verse 109. The Bible says, my life hangs in the balance, but I will not give up obedience to your word. Now, look. When you finish writing, then you look at my faith for 1 second, because I'm bringing the message to a close. And then we will look at the balance. Look at what the psalmist is saying. He says, my life hangs in the balance. So the psalmist knows where his life is. He's aware of his life situation. And this morning, I'm speaking to a lot of people, and I know most of you, almost all of you, or all of you, you are saying, Pastor, my life hangs in a balance. My life is hanging somewhere. Sometimes I'm tempted. I don't even know what to do. But the psalmist says, I will do something. I will not give up obedience to your word. I pray that no matter where you are, no matter how balanced your life is, I don't know whether it is this way, or whether it is that way, or whether it is something like that, or it is just doing this way. I don't care where it is. God says, as the psalmist says, you will not give up. Never give up. Because faith never gives up. Look at it. Well, look at what I'm saying. Sometimes to life. You are looking at your life. And sometimes you look at it and say, look, I've been here for so many years. I can't even have anything to write home about. Look at my life. I've been all around for about 40 years in Canada. I don't even know what to do. Your life is in a balance. But don't give up your obedience to God's word. Don't give up your obedience to God's word. Sometimes you may also be looking at yourself. Looking at your finances. You look at the money. You lift up your eyes. You have been working double. Working triple. You have been doing all that you need to do. But you can't find any amount in your bank account just to justify the things that you have done. Your life is in a balance. But I'm here this morning to admonish you. Don't give up your obedience to God's word. Because God is true. Maybe you are here. You are looking at your job. You've been looking for a job. Going up and down. The job you get, 2 days they sack you. It is not because of your attitude. It's because you are doing all you can do. But it seems that all the world is against you. Your life is in a balance. Your job is not working. But don't give up your obedience to God. I don't know about somebody. But maybe you are here. Your marriage seems never to work. You don't even believe it. You don't know why. The man wasn't like that. The guy wasn't like that. You were not like that. But the marriage seems not to work. You are doing everything possible. You are praying. You are fasting. You are doing everything possible. But it doesn't seem to work. I've come to admonish you. Don't give up. Your marriage may be in a balance, but don't give up your obedience to God. God is able. God is more than able. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen? Maybe you are here. You are also not married. But your relationship doesn't seem to work. Your relationship with your boyfriend. Relationship with your girlfriend. He promises you, I will marry you. And then all of a sudden, you don't know what happens. Yes, anywhere from Adam. Then the relationship doesn't work. Then you are so worried. You don't know what to do. Your life is in a balance. But please, I'm talking to you. Don't give up. Don't give up your obedience to God's word. Can I hear amen, somebody? Can I hear amen, somebody? Can I hear amen, somebody? Some of you may be wondering, your parents, maybe it's your parents, you have issues with your parents, you're a young person, your parents don't really understand you, you don't also understand them, things doesn't seem to work, but I want to assure you, don't give up on your obedience. I don't know what you are doing, I don't know who else, I don't know where to touch, but let me touch on this. Maybe some of you have been battling illness, this particular disease, you have done everything possible. We have prayed. We have poured oil. We have laid hands. We have laid legs. We have done everything. But it's not going. You don't know who is. You don't know the cause. You don't know why. Don't give up your obedience in the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, this morning, this afternoon, I'm here just to encourage you. Just to admonish you. If there is one thing that you can do, that I can do to help us find the answer to every situation in our life, it is this one thing. It is faith. It is faith. It is faith in God. It is believing Him. Because faith is equivalent to power. And when you believe Him, when your faith increases, your power, your ability to endure, your ability to overcome, your ability to excel, your ability to succeed, your ability to smile, even at the face of the storms, is faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor's face and tell you, I'm not giving up. Look at your neighbor's face, give him a high five and say, look, don't give up because I am not giving up. Amen. Yeah. So maybe some of you too may be wondering. It's immigration. You have applied for immigration ever since you came. You have done everything. Marriage, what? This is what immigration, refugee, what? Immigration. You have done all those things. Everybody's one is working. You alone. Yours is not working. Don't give up on your obedience to God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Can I hear amen? Whoa, look at what the scripture says. Let's finish it. Even if good people fall 7 times, the Bible says they will get back up. Proverbs 24:16. If you fall 7 times, you get back up. Look at Galatians 6:9. The Bible says, let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and if we don't give up. Don't give up. Can I hear amen? Look at it. Finally, Mark chapter 9, verse 24. The Bible says, then the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Lift up your hands and pray, say, God, help me. Now, lift up your hands and say, Lord, I believe. Help me believe. Help me believe. In the name of Jesus. Any trace of doubt. Any trace of unbelief, Lord, take it away, wash it away, cleanse me from any form of doubt. Lift up your hands, sit down, lift up your hands and just begin to thank God and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Worship Him. Honor Him. Praise Him. Exalt His name. Makuzata libriande. Lambalo bala. Kandolo brada. Yele bakata. Lebrazo taliande. Bantolo bakota. One thing. One thing. One thing is faith in Him. One thing. Don't kapokasita. Don't allow that faith. Don't allow that doubt. Don't allow that doubt. Don't allow it. One thing. One thing, one thing. Tell God, like the father of the child said, with tears. Even if you do it with tears, do it with tears. Cry unto God and say, God, I can't believe it. You have spoken to me. Sometimes I don't know what to do. My life is in a balance. But oh God, I know I believe in you. But please help me. Help my unbelief. Take away any form of doubt, any form of disbelief, any form of unbelief from my heart. Lord, help me. Lift up your voice and pray. Cry unto God. Talk to God. Speak unto God. Ask Him in the name of Jesus to help you, to help you, to help you. By the power in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, Lord.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.